You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast with Alex Dunn and Ollie Pimlott with you. To guide you through the best of Tuesday's racing, we've got a race each at Brighton, Ripon, Suddle and Wolverhampton. And they're the only meetings actually on Tuesday. No Irish to look forward to there. That'll be back on Wednesday. But we've got four races to look at from around the country. Very different types of race. And we've also got a Monday jury to look at as well. How are you, Mr. Pimlott?
Yeah, good form. Not too bad at all. You've picked me a rum selection of races for tomorrow's feast.
Well,
of action.
We've been treated to some good quality cards, haven't we, over the
weekend?
And even on today, we're recording this before Monday's racing. There's some competitive action and a fantastic card at Nace as well to look forward to. It's a little bit more
what Richard Hughes has been moaning about in The Guardian this morning is today's podcast. But a 4-1 winner in the Derby is worth the same as a 4-1 winner in the 7:35 at Suffolk.
That is very true. Very, very true indeed. We'll move on to tomorrow's action shortly. We're just going to go through the Monday jury first. Stolen from the Racing Post. Let's hope they're not listening. First up, of course, it is Derby week, isn't it?
Yes.
Which has almost slipped under my radar a little bit. Things have been happening very quickly, Ollie. And already...
Well, Royal Ascot just round the corner as well.
First week of June.
Yeah.
1st of June today. Right. Is Golden Horn the answer? Or is the Investec Derby more open than the betting suggests? We've got the betting on site now. As I say, this is recorded 1 o'clock on Monday. Golden Horn is 7-4. Zorak 9-2. 11-2 for Jack Hobbs. 13-2 Elm Park. 12s for Giovanni Canaletto and Hans Holbein. 20s or bigger the rest. Is Golden Horn the answer?
I think Golden Horn will win. The Dante is usually the best trial. It's certainly been the best trial for the Derby this year. Whether I'd be back at 7-4 would be questionable. Because you know, a lot of people have said it's not going to be a vintage Derby, but there's going to be a lot of darts thrown at the Derby now. Say Glen Eagles has been pulled out this morning. He's going to go for the St. James's Palace. So there's a little bit of interest gone, because it would have been interesting to see Glen Eagles in that. I'm not sure he would have stayed, but it would have been exciting to see a dual guineas winner in the Derby bidding for the Triple Crown, which of course is this weekend as well in America. So looking forward to that. American Pharaoh bidding for the Triple Crown, which I think he'll win, Alex Dunn.
Okay.
He's even money.
Yeah.
Just to sidetrack slightly, even money. There's doubts whether he'll stay. I think the last 12 Belmont winners, 9 of them have missed the middle leg of the Triple Crown. Completely different test at Belmont as to the two previous races, but I'm pretty sure he'll stay. I mean, he just could just be that classy that they won't get near American Pharaoh. Victor Espinosa didn't even have to get his whip out in the middle leg. I think he'll win American Pharaoh, and it'll be great for racing.
It will.
If
good story, isn't it? Yeah,
it is a good story. If we have a Triple Crown, obviously the likes of Big Brown in the past with Rick Dutrow, there was some bad stories such as the steroid scandal and all that sort of thing surrounding it. But there's a good story to American Pharaoh, and I think he'll win at the weekend.
Okay. Can we get back on topic? What's going in the Derby?
I think Golden Horn will win.
Fine.
But whether I play at 7-4 would be questionable. There's a little bit of doubts over pedigree, but he certainly wasn't stopping in the Dante. I have question marks over Jack Hobbs' experience more than anything. I thought he has quite a strange sort of head carriage. Certainly in the Dante, he held it to one side. He's still very inexperienced. He's only won a Wolverhampton maiden and a handicap off 85. Well, he looked extremely well handicapped that day. But in the Dante, for me, he looked slightly awkward. He was impressive in the Breakfast with the Stars, as was Golden Horn. The one that I can't have at all is Elm Park. I think he looks St. Ledger type, and he was changing his legs every other stride in Breakfast with the Stars. So a big question mark whether he will handle the track. But Golden Horn, for me, is certainly the one you've got to be on. Barring he doesn't stay, it's very hard to see him getting beat because he settles so well, very, very relaxed. Whereas Jack Hobbs, I know King Ken was saying he pulled ferociously hard going to post in the Dante, and he might have just done his running prior to the race there. Whereas Jack Hobbs is extremely well relaxed. He sat off a strong pace in the Dante and picked them up with no fuss whatsoever. You've got the big race jockey on board, Frankie, so no worries about jockey bookings, bidding to ride his second Derby winner after authorised. He takes the beating for me. If I was looking for one each way, it would probably be Zorak of Dermot Wells. Only ran twice, but he's been very impressive in winning both of those starts. Dermot Wells, incredibly well at targeting big races. And he's reported to have done a very good bit of work last week where he worked over a mile and a little bit further, and he was told to be going away very strongly. So they're pretty confident, the Wells team, that he will stay the trip. They're in outstanding form, the stable, and they've got a great record in these sorts of races. So Zorak each way, if I was looking to follow Golden Horn home, but I really can't see him getting beat as long as he stays. Looks like being good ground at the weekend at Epsom, so... Mm. It's an unoriginal selection, but I think Golden Horn's going to take the hell of a lot of beating.
Rare that you get a bad Derby favourite as well.
Yeah, exactly. They always say, each year it seems to be it's a bad Derby, but yeah. Look at the winners over the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, very true. Okay, then, what about the Oaks then? Who are you siding with in the Oaks? We've got Legatissimo 11-4, Crystal Zvezda 3-1, 7s for Diamonds and Rubies and Jack Naylor, 10s for Together Forever, 12 Star of Seville, 14s Jazzy Top and Lady of Dubai, and 16s Omega the Rest.
Yeah, we still know... No idea who Ryan Moore's going to ride.
Well, he's ridden
significant.
The...
He's ridden the first two in the betting, certainly.
First three.
Legatissimo, Crystal Zvezda. What's the third favourite?
Diamonds and Rubies.
And Diamonds and Rubies, of course, at Chester. And the Diamonds and Rubies form has worked out exceptionally well with the Irish Guineas form. Diamonds and Rubies was behind a couple of those who've gone on to win since, and she improved markedly for the step-up in trip last time at Chester. So she's a big prize for me, Diamonds and Rubies. I don't think Ryan's going to ride her. I think there's another potential Triple Crown winner in here in the form of Legatissimo.
Yep.
She's very closely related to Fame and Glory, who, of course, won an Ascot Gold Cup. There's no doubt whatsoever for me that the Watchman filly will stay a mile and a half, certainly on pedigree. She'll stay further than that. Very smooth success in the 2,000 guineas at Newmarket. She's had a rest in between her races. Remember, it was less than a week between her win and then winning again at Newmarket. She handled the undulations of the Rolling Mile very well indeed. She won going away. Very worthy favourite. I think she should be a stronger favourite than he is. But we've seen a lot of money this week for the likes of Jack Naylor, of Jessica Harrington's. I think that was 20-1 after her fourth in the Irish 1,000 guineas. Sevens now. Bullish reports from the Harrington team, which is unusual. But Fran Berry is reporting, you know, strong word for this. He thinks she'll definitely stay the mile and a half trip. It was her first start of this campaign, and she's bound to have improved a little bit for the run. But I don't think she's quite got the class of the first two or three in the market. Crystal Zvezda has got an outstanding pedigree. So Michael Stout reported prior to a win at Newbury, she was just coming to herself. She'd improved for that, and she didn't half bolt up. But I think Ryan Moore will stick with Legatissimo on pedigree. She's bound to stay. I think she looks a nailed-on St. Ledger type as well going forward. So, again, hopefully for racing, we might have a horse going for the Triple Crown, the St. Ledger, at Doncaster a little bit later in the year. So, unoriginal again, but I think Legatissimo is going to take the beating because on pedigree she's bound to stay. She's going to handle the undulations. She looked really good. Didn't take her to Breakfast with the Stars, but she looked really good handling the undulations at Newmarket. I think she definitely takes the beating for me.
11-4. A nicer price as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Than Golden Horn. Obviously a bigger price, but...
I'd rather back Legatissimo.
I agree.
I think she's just as good a chance as Jack Hobbs, and certainly on pedigree, she's a lot more chance of staying than the Derby favourite.
Okay. Just a bit of an interesting fact for you that might not be interesting. What does Zvezda mean? Do you know?
I have no idea.
It means star.
Crystal star.
In, I'd imagine, Serbian or whatever. Because... Kravena Zvezda, bit of football trivia, Red Star Belgrade.
Oh, thank you.
There you are. You're welcome.
I'm sure the listeners will really appreciate that.
I'm a very, very lonely man.
You are indeed.
Next question. Is Shima Classic winner Dolnaya the banker of the meeting in the Coronation Cup? We've got the betting up for that. 11-10 for that one. 2-1 Flintshire, 9-2 Tapestry, 16s or bigger the rest?
Price a secret gesture each way in that one.
Not in the betting. Mustn't be going.
I think she might go. She was second to Talent in the Oaks in 2013. She'll handle a track. I think some of our friends have her priced up around about 14-1.
Okay.
So if she does go,
if she is entered,
she'd be one each way. Yep. Worry about. I mean, the form is rock solid, isn't it, for the Shima Classic with Dolnier? Really impressive in beating Flintshire into second in Maidan. But you have to argue there's a big difference between the flat track at Maidan and the Canberra at Epsom. Tapestry. might be the value in there. Aidan O'Brien's got an outstanding record in the race, used to always send St. Nicholas Abbey to it. So Aidan O'Brien targets the race. And I think as well, this morning it looks like Found could well be heading there instead of the Derby. Okay. I think it's been reported this morning that she could well be heading there, and she'll be one to take Dolnea on with. Again, she's going to improve for the step up in trip. The fact they were going to enter in the Derby, she's always been the apple of the Coolmore team's eye. Mm. She's been well supported for both guineas. Obviously, she missed the English version, was probably pretty well beaten in the Irish version, but all of Aidan O'Brien's are coming on a hell of a lot for the run. She'll stay that little bit further on pedigree. So Found, is she in the betting now, Alex, with us?
Not with us.
Yeah, she's
another one.
It does look like she's going to go there. I've seen Coolmore tweeted this morning, Glen Eagles and Found running the St. James's Palace and Coronation Stakes, respectively.
Right.
So, yeah, it does look like Found's going to go there. So she might be one to go with. But, I mean, at such a short price, 11-10. She clearly has the best form in offer with that defeat of Flintshire at Maidan. But Maidan, as I just mentioned, is completely different to the undulations of Epsom.
Okay. So are we saying not the banker of the meeting?
Not for me at that price, especially given we've got some good horses going there with the likes of Found taking her on.
Okay. Next question. What is your strongest fancy elsewhere over Epsom's 2 days? Obviously, a whole host of racing to go at, and we've mentioned the big races, but the rest of them seem very, very difficult to call, don't they? You've got the Dash, you've got tricky handicaps over 7 furlongs and a mile. Not easy, is it?
It's not easy, and again, you've got to wait on the declarations.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep it simple. I think Legatissimo will win the Oaks.
No, that's fine.
Given we know she's bound to go there. I think A-Rod won well in the Diamond Stakes on Friday. He looks definitely a miler today. The way he wasn't beaten far into third behind Knight of Thunder at Newbury was rock-solid form, because Knight of Thunder, I think, is one of the most underrated horses going about at the minute. He was only just beaten at Champions Weekend last year. Won the guineas, albeit unconsidered, but the form has stood up very well since. So A-Rod might be one for me in the Diamond Stakes on Friday. Very good form behind Knight of Thunder at Newbury. He handled Epsom fine when fourth in last year's Derby. He might be one at an each-way price on Friday in the Diamond Stakes.
Okay. Question number 5. How did the outcome of the Sandy Lane affect your Commonwealth Cup thinking? Basically, are you still a Lamato
I'm still a Lamato fan. I still would back him at Royal Ascot for the new race, the Commonwealth Cup. He got caught on the outside, did Graham Lee, and the ground wasn't what he really likes. He wants rattling ground, which you usually get at Royal Ascot. Admittedly, you might get a bit of rain in between, but he was on the softer side at Haydock at the weekend. I would still think on the faster surface at Royal Ascot, he'd still be the one for me. Tiggy Wiggy, probably the one to take him on with. She proved in the guineas over not an ideal trip that she's back to form. She could be one to take him on with, dropping back in trip. She ran a fine race over a mile, which stretched her at Newmarket, dropping back in trip.
Well, she's all speed, isn't she?
Yeah, she's all speed. Yeah. Tiggy Wiggy might be the one to take Lamato on with, but I wouldn't be too bothered about the run. The draw on the ground were definite negatives from Lamato on the day, and I think it's just a stepping stone to Royal Ascot.
Okay, Lamato 7-2 for the Commonwealth Cup, 5 for Hootenanny and Tiggy Wiggy, 6s for Aday, 10s for Muhara, 12s for Ivorwood, and 14s over the rest. Should be a fantastic race in prospect there. That one on the 19th of June, of course, at Royal Ascot. And the final question from the Monday jury: would you move Sandown's valuable Brigadier Gerard meeting to a Saturday?
Definitely not.
Correct.
I would like to see a hell of a lot of more decent midweek action, as shown by tomorrow's fair, which we're going to preview very shortly.
Yeah.
Bereft of decent action during the week. I know we have the big meetings such as Royal Ascot, York Seaboard meeting, Cheltenham.
But how often on a Saturday does the third meeting, in effect, just get swept under the carpet when it's quite a valuable
and these third meetings would star on a day like
or
today
Sunday
or tomorrow.
Yeah. No, they would.
I think there should be far, far more decent meetings during the week. I certainly would not move it.
Nope. Okay then. Right, we'll move on to Tuesday's action then. And we'll start at Brighton with a fillies handicap over nearly 7 furlongs. 6 runners going to post for this one. Not the strongest race, but there are certainly bits and pieces of form in here that are pretty interesting.
Yeah. As you say, not the strongest of races, but pretty decent prize money on offer for this fillies handicap. The 4-year-old Nova, best part of $5,000. To the winner, and we've got some horses who've been plying the trade on the all weather through winter, and some who've just come back and had a couple of runs this spring/summer. There's a couple in here which I like. Pretty Bubbles has been a horse I've supported all through the winter. Been kept on the go for a long time by John Jenkins, but seems to be holding her form. She won a couple of handicaps at Kempton, both over 7 furlongs in the winter. They tried her at Southwell, she didn't handle it, so she does want this sounder surface. She was a good second of 7 in a Chepstow handicap on Saturday. That's Sarango. But I think leading claims, she completely blew the start at Leicester last month, but given a break, back on better ground, which she'll appreciate. She'll have no problem handling the Brighton undulations. So Pretty Bubbles would be the one to take the favourite on with. Sarango bounced back to form when she was running up at Chepstow on Saturday. Looks to have a good chance of going one better if she is indeed turned out. But at the alleged prices we've got here, I think I'd rather take her on with the informed John Jenkins' Pretty Bubbles. Freddie Tylett's got an excellent record on her. She's won 3 times on this mare. Return to the sounder surface will suit. She's had a little bit of a break in between that disappointing start at Leicester last month. So Pretty Bubbles, I think, would be one to take the favourite Sarango on with.
OK, Pretty Bubbles to pick then in Brighton's 340. The prices Ollie mentioned there, of course, the tissue prices are obviously subject to change. And hoping that Sarango does go to post because, we're trying to take her on,
yes,
basically.
Indeed.
Okay, next up is Ripon's 355, a handicap over a mile. 10 winners going to post for this Class 3 event. And we'll start with Birdman here, Ollie. Now with David O'Meara, formerly with David Simcock, and as unbeaten for his new trainer.
Yeah, you'd have to say he's got a great chance here. 3 from 3 for Dave O'Meara this season. He was 5-4 favourite last time. Didn't need to improve to win an 8-runner handicap at Thirsk. That was over 7 on Good to Firm. That was 31 days ago. Did it very comfortably indeed. Didn't have to improve on his previous form to do that, Alex, but he's been revitalised since joining Dave O'Meara from the Simcock yard. Landed 3 consecutive handicaps. He's gone up £6, but that might not be enough to prevent the 4-timer. But again, at the forecast prices, he does look a little bit short today. I'm going to take a chance on the lightly raced Indy here. He won a 6 furlong Doncaster Maiden on debut at 2 years of age. He's been lightly raced since, but did have excuses on his reappearance in the Spring Mile in March. This, you would argue, is somewhat easier. Only his 6th start. David Barron and Graham Gibbons are going great guns this season, so I'd take the favourite on bidding for a 4-timer Birdman with a lightly raced Indy for David Barron and Graham Gibbons.
OK, Indy the pick in Ripon's 355. We'll now move to the evening action, and we'll move to a hurdle race. Suttle 735 over 2.5 miles. 8 runners going to post for this one, and some informed types here, Ollie.
Yeah, I've got some informed types, albeit at a pretty lowly level. The one I like here is Brass Monkey for Neil King. Trevor Whelan takes over from Lizzie Kelly. This absolutely bolted up at Fontwell last time. Won by 13 lengths, unextended. It was a visor first time, which seemed to work the Oracle. It's only got a £7 penalty for that win. If turned out quickly, which we're presuming he is, Brass Monkey, he's going to take a hell of a lot of beating. He's only got an official rating of 100 here. We're in a 0 to 120, so he has to somewhat up his game. But he's taking on rivals who've been knocking on the door, Alex, but not quite been knocking it down. King of Strings looks too high in the handicap now. He landed a double, but was well held when 3rd of 9, 13 lengths behind Zazzle at Market Raisin. The same applies to Knight Bachelor. He looks a little bit too high in the handicap. He was 2nd again, 2 lengths behind Aura Glass at Toaster. That was back in May. An Indian Stream, prior to being 1st and 2nd, pulled up on his last start. So I'm going to take a chance on the informed Brass Monkey. Does have a £7 penalty for that facile win at Fontwell in a 0 to 100. Just a couple of days ago, but with the visor, seemed to have worked the Oracle with this horse, and I think he can go in again.
Okay, the final race that we're going to look at is Wolverhampton's 850, a handicap over the extended mile. 10 runners going to post for this one, but a fair few infrequent winners here.
Yeah, fair few infrequent winners. I'm going to go for another pretty unexposed horse in the form of Tacneen here for Ed Dunlop. It made a really encouraging return at Kempton in April. However, was well beaten on heavy ground at Ripon 25 days ago. I'm going to forgive that run. It's got a gorgeous pedigree by Badie Amaju Mare, by Cape Cross. We all know Cape Crosses love to hear their feet rattling, so that the heavy ground at Ripon did not suit whatsoever. Lightly raced, has only had the 6 starts in his career. Been gelded over the winter. I'm going to forgive him that run at Ripon. As you say, It's not a great handicap, this. You know a great deal about the rest of the horses. The only lightly raced horse in the field. Forgive that run at Ripon. Give him one more chance, Tacneen. On pedigree, he's really going to appreciate the forecast standard going at Wolverhampton. Hated the heavy ground at Ripon last time. Dane O'Neill has been going really well this season. Ed Dunlop has started to have a few winners, and Toga Tiger even is probably feared most. He is a course and distance winner, but we know everything we need to know about him and warfare. So the least exposed horse for me in the field, Tacneen by Cape Cross, will appreciate the return to the Polytrack, and hoping he goes in the on the Polytrack. Forgive him for that run at Ripon last time in testing conditions. Tacneen for me, for Dane O'Neill and Ed Dunlop.
Okay, Tacneen the pick there, and in Wolverhampton's 8.50. Great stuff, all. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Enjoy all the Tuesdays racing.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.